What's going on, everybody? This be your boy
DJ Anonymous.
DJ Anonymous with another episode of Sports Biz Music, the podcast, and I believe this is episode 152. And I got a special guest on the show today. Me and my dog, man, this person, we go way back to like diaper days. You know what I'm saying? Like way back. I'm talking about like, you know, church days, St. Agnes days, you know what I'm saying? He the co-owner of Molly Juice, and he's the co-host of the Why Not Us podcast. Welcome to the show, my boy Jabari. How you doing, dog?
I'm good, brother. How you doing, man? Just chilling and maintaining.
That's all we got to do, man, especially in these days, man. We got to just maintain and, you know, have God on our side and just have that faith. Especially during this time.
Yeah, man. Everything out here, you know, just trying to live in this economy, you know, mm-hmm. it's up and down. Mm-hmm. But we trying to make the you know, take a positive for every negative is always a positive. So
right.
We only gonna focus on the positive, you know, try to execute the pros, try to get better at the cons, mm-hmm. and, you know, just roll with the punches, you know.
Exactly. So we're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about today. This is going to be a different type of podcast. But before we get into it, tell the people about yourself a little bit.
Well, I'm Jabari. Grew up in Miami. Like I said, me and Johnny, me and Johnny go way back.
Mm-hmm.
I know Johnny since St. Agnes Episcopal Church. a historic landmark in the Overtown,
yep.
Miami, you know what I'm saying? So we started out, you know, when we were in the church, as I came up, went off to college, went to Clemson University,
mm-hmm.
graduated with my human performance and recreation degree,
mm-hmm.
A concentration in recreation. And, of course, after college, went out of school, started working in my field. And then, just like the rest of the world, I was impacted by COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I got let go of my job at the time. And that's when I was able to fully focus on my, you know, just on my entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
And we started Molly Juice, me and my brother Jamal, we started Molly Juice in 2013. And, you know, ever since then, 2013, when we first started, we were making spike drinks. So there was like this whole wave,
mm-hmm.
when like everybody was making spike drinks, and everybody was doing like the, well, at this time, it was nobody doing it. I remember we were like one of the first people
to
start
setting
like
the
adult, to start doing like the adult Capri Suns and the drinks in the mason jars and delivering drinks and doing all of that. I remember being one of the first ones doing it. So that's how it started.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the pandemic hit, different opportunities started opening up for us. So right before the pandemic, that's when a friend of ours, Sean, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Fat Boy ended up opening Fat Boy's Wings and Team.
Mm-hmm.
So he blessed us with the opportunity to be the only juice in the restaurant.
Oh, wow.
So, how everybody got, like, they, you know, got their flop or
mm-hmm.
got every restaurant, kind of like in Miami, you know, especially, like, the locally owned restaurants, they all got, like, a beverage they kind of known for.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Sean wanted that, and he gave us the opportunity to, you know, just exclusively make Molly Juice at Fat Boys, and we took it. And he opened up in 2018.
Mm.
I want to say like 2018. And man, when he opened up, you know, we just, let me back up. So before 2018, so from 2013 to 2018, we just doing the spike drinks. So right. We just selling it. We don't really have no store. You know, we kind of like just getting our hustle on.
Yeah.
So he comes to us like, man, why don't y'all just try to just make this? He didn't drink. So one day we end up making lemonade for the drinks. You know, we about to go do some sales. So at the time, he didn't drink. And he was like, man, y'all, let me get some of that lemonade before you put the alcohol in there. And he tasted, you know, he tasted lemonade. And he was like, man, why don't y'all just sell this? Mm-hmm. Like, this is good enough. And we like, man, what you talking about, man? Like, we ain't just selling no shit, man. Like, all the money is in this spike, you know? Because, you know, we were getting those things at the time, man. We were selling those drinks like 10 a pop. We were doing really well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at the time, we didn't see what we saw, you know? So, fast forward, he opened up the restaurant in 2018, mm-hmm. and it caught like wildfire, man. We were selling out of juice like every 2 days, like wildfire. So as the restaurant is building up its, you know, popularity, so is Molly Juice. Mm-hmm. Everybody coming in there buying the Molly Juice, buying the food. It was like a hot commodity. So we were selling out. I want to say for up until, you know, most recently, we were selling out like every 2 days. I'm talking about doing 3,000 bottles a month.
Damn.
You know, just at one spot. So, you know, we were doing really well. Mm-hmm. Even through the pandemic, we were doing really well. And so that brings us up to where we at now. So during the pandemic, we decided that, you know, we want to open Miami's first lemonade shop, lemonade bar. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nowhere where you could just go and get, you could go get healthy juice in Miami all day from any and everywhere. Mm-hmm. But what place is dedicated to the frozen cup, the slushy, to the, you know, y'all like to say flop, but, we, you know, we're doing our own thing. We call it Molly Juice.
Right.
There's no place where you could just go get, you know, that refreshing beverage that reminds you of your childhood, you know, with different flavors. There's no way where you could go get that. And one thing me and my brother always wanted to do, we always wanted to open up a spot in the local community to be able to employ our community.
Right. So that's very important.
We ended up getting a spot right there in Liberty City. Right there, 63rd and 7th. And so, you know, we're still in the process of trying to open. So it's been about a year and a half since we had the spot. So, you know, it's not a quick process. Got to have a lot of patience. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's where we at today. So I ended up being kind of just jumping full into this entrepreneurship thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just where I'm at with it today. Me and my brother, we work together. Mm-hmm. We still in Fat Boys Wings and Teams. We have an online store, www.mollyjuice.com. We got a YouTube that show you, you know, all the drinks and the spirits that go well with Molly Juice. I like to say we make the perfect chaser, but, you know, I don't like to too much brag on my kids. I know they're good, you know. So, you know, we got the YouTube popping, man. And really, during the pandemic, I don't know if you guys know it, but Tiara and Ken, they were a popular YouTube couple. I think they split up now, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. They stopped by Fat Boys, man. They got over like 5 million followers. They had over 5 million followers on YouTube. They shot a vlog coming to our restaurant, man, and that. When I say that shot skyrocketed business, man, we were doing at least 18 orders a day, you know, at this point in time for like a month, we were doing no less than about 18 orders a day. So it was a hectic time. And then, you know, from that one vlog, you know, it afforded us the opportunity to where we at right now. So, you know, we just do that. We go out and vend on weekends. Mm-hmm. You know, we bring in, we got seasonal flavors, but we got really 4 staple flavors. But, you know, since the spring, you know, we brought back that green apple, that peach. So, you know, we try to mix it up, do as much different things as we can.
So,
everything.
So y'all pretty much, so if I wanted to get some juice, I can order from y'all online.
You can order from us online. Right from our direct store, and it'll be right there at your front door.
Okay, yeah, cause I never had y'all juice before. Because when y'all first came out, I never had it. Cause when it first came out, I wasn't really. Cause at first I'm thinking like, damn, that shit look good as fuck. But then it was like a holic. And you know, now I drink a little bit. I get a little bit of taste here and there, but you know, I had them spiked drinks before. One of my dogs used to make like a spiked lemonade, and it really tastes like lemonade. But then that shit got my ass, so I'm like, I ain't gonna lie. Them boys, I knew them boys since I was young. You know, you know, they Bahamian descent. So, you know Bahamians to drink all the damn time. So I'm like,
you know what church we went to.
Yeah, bro. So, so I'm like, man,
you seen them? I see it. We grew up seeing lay ministers and choir members go right from the altar to under the tree with the wine and the beer.
Yeah, man. But that was real though, because you know, at the end of the day, we all humans, man. We all got to live life to its fullest. And you know, one thing about St. Agnes, you know, God rest his soul, Father Barry, he was all about enjoying life. Like, I used to hear the stories about him and my grandma and like the whole congregation, you know, at the church and stuff, we used to go and eat them fried chicken and stuff and whatnot, and all the adults, they'll be drinking and stuff and enjoying life and talk about different stories and stuff. So, as I got older, as we all got older, we start learning that, damn, like, that shit is real. Like, you got to live life because you never know when you're going
to be. He was all about, like, because, you know, God rest his day. I'm not saying this in a bad way, but, you know, we grew up in Miami. You know, cigarettes is, like, frowned upon, you remember. It was, like, frowned upon.
Yeah.
So, you know, you see this high priest. And you know, he was always clean cut. Always, you know, cared about his appearance.
Mm-hmm.
But one of his vices was, you know, he smoked cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But the one thing that I always learned from Father Barry was, no matter like what I do, whether it be to smoke cigarettes, I always take care of business first.
Exactly.
And he ain't never let his vice like get the best of him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I always like admired that, because you know, some people can't do something without a smoke, you know.
Yeah.
So it always used to be nice to see him just still accomplishing goals and, you know, and still, you know, still be purpose driven and still enjoy life, you know. That, no, like how you say him, you know, we're not perfect. Mm-hmm. And he certainly didn't try to live or be perfect. He was just him, you know.
But he was a man amongst men, though, because I remember – I was nervous for my confirmation. You know, we had to study that whole damn Bible.
And
it was one of them classes. It was one of them Saturday mornings I'll never forget. And he came up, and I was like, Father Barry, I don't read the Bible like that. Like, this gonna be hard, because you know you had to pass to get confirmed. And he was like, you know, with that Bahamian accent and stuff, he was like, you know, John, like, you know, you come from a family. Well, you know, your grandma, your grandmother, and your sisters and stuff, like, they all did this and got confirmed. You could do it too. I know you can. So when he told me that, shit.
You want to know how I know he ain't want us to fail?
How you know?
I remember taking my confirmation test, bro, and he was the one that administered the test.
Mm-hmm.
During the test, he left. He left, like he just left. I remember being in the parish hall. I'm like, yeah, I know this. So I'm answering the questions that I know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm gonna come back to the ones that I have a little trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just never forget, he did like a lap around, he looking, man, then he just walked out. Like, just left. And I remember all of us looking up like at the same time, like, did he just leave? Like, there's nobody here to, like, watch us.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm probably on here telling, but it's water under the bridge now. But I remember everybody just pulling out their little notes and, like, okay. And then he come back with a bag of chicken. We like, wow, this is, he didn't want us to fail, you know what I'm saying? But he did want to make us sweat. He was a cool dude for that, man. It was a nervous moment. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, man. And like, I just went back because I try to go once a year, but COVID messed that up. And then I was trying to get my daughter, you know, get was a Christian and at the church this year. Like, it was just hard to get in contact with them and everything. And I seen like the church changed, like, in a good way, in a bad way. The bad way was just that, you know, everybody just got older, everybody passing away and everything. And it don't feel the same. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's still my church. I love my church, but it's like, damn, like, you know, I remember the good old days, like, you know, even when we was acolytes. And that was like, I tell people all the time to this day, that was like football practice.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Auberry, right. You know, Mr. Auberry, God rest his soul, like, he, the man instilled a lot of things in us. He always wanted to make sure that we was good. We was, like, styling and profiling, making sure that, you know, even if we made the one mistake, don't do that same mistake again. And, man, like, it's, a lot has changed, bro.
Yeah, man, those Saturdays, man, just walking around that church for lap after lap, perfecting those steps, perfecting, you know, how you hold your arm, where your thumb should be when you're raising the torches, how to swing the incense pot correctly, and, you know, just, you know, shoot, to be honest, you know, sitting on that altar, you know, not being able to talk, even when you next to your friends, you got to be a disciplined individual to do that for 2.5 hours. Especially as a kid, like, you got to be real disciplined to sit up there for 2.5 hours in them services, man. They running the songs back.
Yeah.
You know, he reading verses over. You know, you just praying at the Dolphin game come on at 1 o'clock and you're trying to go home.
Yeah, because he always brought that up.
Yeah, man. You know, it was an experience, man. But I know that it's gotten different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know that it's changed. I know a lot has changed, man. But one thing that I'll just say, man, I guess it can only, I guess that was one of those things where you just got to just keep living, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just keep living and keep hoping and just, not hoping, but just keep praying that, you know, just one day, at some point, we'll all find our way back home.
Yeah, because
I think you got to keep living.
Yeah, because I think about all the time, like, I'm talking about when Easter just passed and, you know, Christmas services and everything, like, it was long as hell, but it was beautiful. Like, because, you know, we was all like family. We was like extended family.
Just
like,
the energy.
Yeah, so... And the word was always real. But so let's go upwards, backwards. Let's talk about college. What made you want to get your degree? And because I got my degree too, in my bachelor's and master's in recreation and sports management. So what made you want to get that degree?
So when I started college, to be honest, man, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I honestly chose my major, which my first major happened to be elementary education,
because
I thought that I wanted to be a teacher. Not saying that I can't do it. I've always heard that you would be a great teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But I always just, you know, I wanted more. And to be honest, I just picked it just to pick it, to be real.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense, but I guess I didn't do my own due diligence to myself on picking and choosing at that time the proper career choice.
No, that makes sense. That's bro. When I first went to college, I wanted to do computer engineering just because of music, and I'm like, that don't make no damn sense. And then I'm like, I'm not doing all that math.
It ain't even, the two don't even correlate to one another. Like, you get in the computer engineering class, you're like, whoa, I ain't want to be in calculus. Like, what the hell does this got to do with music?
Hell no.
You know what I'm saying? So it was, I didn't do my research. I didn't do my own due diligence as far as what major to pick. Mm-hmm. How does this, what is it, you know, what are these graduates looking at in their career choices? Right. You know, on what they being paid. If I could go back again, I would really just go to do Dade and do computer science, go get a certificate, or you really go get a CDL, knowing what we know now.
Yeah.
But like I said, I just picked some. So I picked elementary education. I'm taking classes. I'm doing the courses. And at Claflin University, in order to, you know, get your degree or take certain classes, if you're an elementary education major, you got to take the practice test. It's a test that certifies you to be like a teacher. So you got practice one and you got practice two. And basically, it's basically like the FCAT, bro.
Right.
Basically, it's a reading, it's a writing, and it's a math portion of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at the time, I got kind of like a fear of standardized tests.
Yeah, man, I'm not
the best. I'm not like the best test taker.
Yeah, I'm
especially if I'm not prepared well enough. I'm not ashamed to admit, you know, I didn't pass the FCAT. I never passed the FCAT until I retook it in 11th grade.
Mm-hmm.
So up until like 11th grade on the retake, I did not pass the FCAT. I don't know what it was. It always got me. When it comes to school, AB student, 3.0, that standardized testing,
it's different, yeah.
I don't know, dog. Yeah, it just was different. So get to that. So I'm like, okay, they're like, okay, so Mr. Rambo, you done took all the courses. Mm-hmm. It's time for you to take the practice. So you got to pass the practice in order to take certain classes. So then I started, I'm in college, and now I kind of got like a little that sense. So if you remember when I said I didn't do my due diligence when I came in on career path. So now I'm at this point in my college career where I'm like, man, teachers got to do a lot for nothing.
What?
Like, I'm like, man, you got to come up with a lesson plan every week. You got to deal with 20 to 30 plus different personalities every day.
Mm-hmm.
You got the, you know, grade papers. And to be real, the best teachers are the ones that do got their heart in it. But I love kids. I like to work with kids, but I felt like my impact would be greater outside of the class.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, I'm seeing, you know, just who I am as a person. And I know that school isn't it for everybody.
It's not.
And I know how imperative the part played in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in elementary education. And so, you know, for those who don't know, when you go to college and you got to switch your major, it's best to switch your major to something that correlates to your previous major.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't,
you gotta start
have to start all the way over.
All the way over.
So education, blessed enough for me, what ended up working out is that human performance and recreation is a part of the education curriculum.
Mm.
And I'll never forget, I was taking a class, I forget the name of the class right now, but I remember the professor, he was telling me, he was like, man, he was really talking to the class. He was like, yo, I know some of y'all don't want to take that practice. School costs this much a year.
Yeah.
He was like, just come on and switch over, get your degree, and there's more money over here. He was like, this field make more money than this field. He was like, you're going to have to go back to school and get your master's or your doctorate to really see good money in teaching, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, man, that make a lot of sense. So, you know, I started looking up, you know, I got big aspirations for myself. I don't like to look at just level one. My ultimate goal in education was eventually I could be a principal.
Right.
Right?
That's every teacher's dream, I believe.
You feel me? Now I come over here to recreation, and I'm like, I don't just want to be like no rec specialist or no shit like that. You know, I'm like, yeah, that's cool, but man, I want to be a director. Like, I want to run this joint.
Right.
So I switched my major. I meet one of my mentors named Dr. Samuel Robertson. Man, I'll never forget the first day I had like recreation, one of my recreation classes. Dog, I dressed up like I was going for a real live job interview. Because at this point in my time in my life, I'm more serious. Because, you know, you get to become like a sophomore and junior in college. You like all your friends is graduating.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So So everybody you came in with leaving. And, you know, you already done hit the rewind button, you know, so it's going to take you about another year and a half to finish.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, you know, I switched my major from elementary ed to human performance and recreation, man, and I did not look back. And to be honest, recreation, I believe, personally took me further and to more places in my life and different experiences than I feel their teaching would have. Before I switched over to human performance and recreation, I never went camping before. You know what I'm saying? I had never been to the Midwest before. I was able to go to my first National Parks and Recreation Conference,
mm-hmm.
and I actually I did a presentation on obesity in the youth. So and then I had a lot of connections, and man, a lot of the administrative positions, you know, were starting off getting paid higher than teachers. So I was like, yeah, this is it. And I know how Pepper Park saved my life and what it did for me in my life. And I just wanted to deliver that to my community. You know, I'm all about helping the community, especially in South Florida. You know how many kids it is.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know how many kids you grew up with who was better than the people that got contracts right now.
Yeah.
But they just didn't make it, you know. Somewhere along the line, it just didn't work out. And so I've always wanted to just, you know, be the person to kind of be that person, you feel me? To make an impact in the community in that way. And that's when I switched my major, graduated, and I came back home. And it's just been a slow grind. Everything takes patience, but I got an administrative position, and that's I'm doing up. Real well for myself.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Because I was in your same boat too. When I was an undergrad, like I went in the school, think I was gonna do computer engineering. Then I switched that. Then I did music business or something. Then I switched from that. Then I did general studies.
Yeah.
When I transferred from BC. The FIU, I think I transferred in the school of, you know, doing marketing, like, you know, studying marketing. I'm like, man, I don't want to do this. Like, I'm trying to find myself. And that's one thing about, you know, even in this era, like, I tell kids all the time, because, you know, I was hit with COVID too and everything. And, you know, I was working at the Boys and Girls Club, and the older kids, I was telling them, like, you know, once you go to college, and even some of the part-time workers, they was in college too, and they'll come to me because they knew I had my master's and stuff, so I had experience. And I told them, I said, listen, you're going to want to change your degree maybe at least once or twice, but make sure that you don't do the same mistake I did, which was I should have did this earlier. So my advisor at the time, I was talking to her. I was letting her know how I was, you know, feeling and everything at the time. And she pretty much gave me a link, like, to do an assessment. So I'm like, all right, cool. I did the assessment, and I think it was in the library, one of them private areas or whatever, them private rooms or whatever. So I did that. It came up to everything I was interested in, like finances, business management. One of them was sports management, like Park and Rec. Another one was, I was surprised, it was like in medicine or some shit. And, and I'm like, you know, I know you good with money and everything. I know you want to do finance. I said, hell no, because I don't want to do math. Like, I'm tired of doing math. Like, I'm not good at math no more. Like simple, you know, multiplication, division, and all that. That's cool.
I don't think people understand the intricacies of how difficult that math could get, dog. I don't think people understand.
Yeah.
Like, that shit, they'll get tired. It'll give you a headache looking at them numbers all day.
Yeah, man. And, like, you know, even with, like, doing accounting, I'm like, accounting is basically money. Like, it's basic math. addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. So I'm like, I can do accounting, but calculus and all that other crazy stuff, I said, I can't do that. So I looked at the list and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do parking, recreation, and sports management because one, I love sports. Two, I grew up around sports and I was, you know, like yourself, I grew up around the parks and stuff. And, you know.
Yeah, bro, you got to pick something you love. Yeah. Bro, you're going to be doing this.
Yeah.
So you got to, like, make sure you're hard in it.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, I'm saying, let's do it. I'm going to do it. I did my research and everything. And, you know, till this day, I want to be a sports agent and stuff because that's what I originally wanted to do with that degree and stuff.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. But I started falling in love with the parking wreck, bro. Like, my first real job was working with Dade County, part-time manager. I mean, not part-time manager, mm-hmm. part-time rec leader. And I was working with the kids in the inner city, you know, over there, mm-hmm. went on Linda Park and all that over there.
They gonna start you in that.
Yeah. But I loved it, bro. I loved it though, bro. Cause like, you know, I have family, you know, in the areas, you know, by Grand Cherry and everything, you know, over there, Robin Hood and Liberty City and all that. So I'm familiar with it. But those some badass kids, but I love them so much because they appreciated me so much. So I did that for a
couple. It's like they test you.
Yeah, like they test you, but they love you too now. But they test your ass. Yeah. They be like
they going. It's like it's all a test. You know, they just want to see how far they could push.
Yeah.
See how far they could see what they could get away with. See what they can't get away with.
Yeah, man. Because they
know?
Be like
it's almost like you got to earn their respect. Bro.
Yeah.
Wow. Why should we treat you any different?
Exactly. And then they just be like, Coach Mobley, I don't like when you edit us. I'm like, bro, if you don't want me to yell, stop doing stupid shit. Like I should talk to them like that. Like, bro, stop doing stupid dumb ass shit, bro.
You are, hey, I understand it because you know they understand that language. Unfortunately, it's like that's how they parents and stuff is communicating.
Yeah.
With.
And I ain't want.
That's how they communicate. That's how the community communicates with them. So they don't understand. Like, yeah, you don't got to yell all the time.
Yeah.
Or I shouldn't have to curse you out for you to get the point.
Yeah.
Or I shouldn't have to use profanity for you to get a point. Like, you know,
because when I came in, I wasn't cursing or nothing. But I'm like,
you was being too nice. Yeah. They gonna. It's like they smell blood in the water.
Yeah, but I was like, you know what? I'm about to get y'all asses because the first park actually was I was in what's that NMB North Miami, but it's a Dade County park. Damn, what's the name? It's
you talking about Oak Grove?
Yeah, Oak Grove. Yeah, I ain't had to curse mm-hmm. the. Well, yeah, they had some badass kids, but I ain't had to.
You ain't had to curse though.
Yeah, I ain't had to curse or nothing like that. Cause you know it's suburbs. You know what I'm saying? Like it's the
putting some bass in your voice.
Yeah, you know. So they,
I put it like this. I ain't gonna say that it's necessarily like suburbs.
It's in between.
I just say that it's like you got more of a older spirit over there.
Yeah.
You know if that makes sense.
No, it makes sense.
Like. It's like slower living over there. It's like more attention to the details of having manners. Yeah. It ain't like that in the city.
Yeah,
because you know? Everybody young. It's a fast lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because my wife actually she lived by Oak Grove.
Mm-hmm.
And I should tell her she's a black man. This ain't the. I said, listen, just because. This not the city.
It's definitely the hood.
Like 6th Ave is right there.
Yeah, that's definitely the hood.
It's the hood.
All them parks had a game.
Yeah.
AP, Washington. Hey, like you got all them. They got games for them parks. It ain't sweet over there.
Yeah, it's not. But the, to me, like it's what. All right, so like out of towners would say, oh, this is suburbs and stuff. Or if you look up on Wikipedia, it's like it's a suburb area, which is not. it's not false, but as the years went by, it's more urban. You know, it's a lot of, in that area, it's a lot of Haitians and African Americans and Jamaicans in the area. So it's to me, it's in between being a suburb because the way it looked, but it's more urban because, you know, it's not like the inner city, but in that area, it's still like, you know, a few stuff going on. You know, you got 163rd Mall right there. So it's a little bit going on. But anyway, like, the kids were straight. Once they moved me in the city to Orlando Park and Arcota Lakes and everything, I'm like, man, I'm about to cuss y'all ass out. And they ain't want us to do that to the kids, but I'm like, I ain't do that all the time. It was just like, you know, one-on-one conversations with the kids. I'm like, hey, bro, don't do that stupid shit. Like, Coach Mobley, I know you curse. I said, listen, I'm speaking your language now. Like, I care for you. I want you to, you know, to grow in this program, because it was a program called Fit the Lead. And we help inner city kids, you know, get, you know, make sure they good, make sure they get back on track. So we was dealing with a lot of the hard heads, you know, the knuckleheads. And I'm like, bro, like, you can't be like that, or you can't get into fights, because, bro, they ain't worth it, bro. So we was like mentors, you know. So fast forward from that, they did a couple gigs and stuff, and Park and Rec. Then I finally got the Boys and Girls Club, and now I'm dealing with these jits up in Deerfield Beach, up in, you know, Deerfield, yeah. Pompano. And I took, bruh, that shit like Dave. And the funny thing about it, and I tell them, I said, listen, they're like, oh, you from Miami, man, you it's dangerous down there. I said, listen, the difference between Dade and Broward, like, when it comes to, like, the urban areas, the hood areas, is that I tell the people from Broward all the time, not just because I'm from there, but even me, like, I wasn't really like driving around like that until I got into college. So, yeah. You know, at the time, you know, I was just chasing women and stuff. I wasn't like a street nigga. I was just like being in the streets for women and shit. So, of course, they was in different areas and shit. So, like, and they, you 9 to 10 times, you going to know who is who. And Broward is kind of tricky because Deerfield, you know, where the Boys and Girls Club was at, it was on Dixie. So, right behind us was the hood, but then across the train tracks, it was like rich white folks. You know what I'm saying? So
right there,
it's like, for example, it's like the Grove like that too. Like the Grove, you got, you know, the hood side and everything. Then across the street, you got UM and like high middle class people, and you got Coral Gables, where it's like it's nothing but rich ass people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Deerfield was like that. And but I'm like, y'all crazy up here. Like y'all not too far from.
I'll say this for sure. It's almost like them boys be trying to compete with who the worst.
Yeah, bro.
It's almost like they be competing to be like the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
Like I was gonna say, like, man, I don't know, man. I think I don't know. For some reason, every time I go to bar, like, maybe it's because I'm not from there, and I don't be up there. So when I see it, I'm just like, damn, boy, they thugging dumb hard.
Yeah, they be
thugging dumb hard. Like, they real aggressive, you feel me? They real, like, protective of their area. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just like the Crib, just like anybody would feel too, from the locks, the Kara City.
Mm-hmm.
Or the program, you know, it's the same thing. You know?
I think it's like that. I think that's just South Florida in general, because
because
when I went to my first one, you know how they do the introduction job and stuff. You got to go a couple of days. I was actually in Sixth Trunk, and Sixth Trunk, Lord, that shit
this like joint is like the Black Mecca. It's a lot of history.
Yeah, a lot of history. It's like the poker beans. It's like Liberty City. Like, you know, that right. Soyuz is right. Different. You know,
exactly. And I think they like they poker beans is what it, I think they call Sunland. I think.
Yeah, bro. So it's like it's the only, like I said, the only difference with Broward, and I tell out of towners this all the time. I'm like, if you notice, if you go more in the cities of like Miami and stuff, the accent is a little bit more country, which is kind of weird, you know. Usually
in Broward or here,
in both, because Broward the same way. Because Sis Trunk is in the heart of, it's like Fort Lauderdale, so.
I feel like they talk like they from like the country of for sure.
Like they more
we sound like we from like a South Carolina.
Yeah, so
South Carolina, maybe a little bit of Georgia, of course.
Yeah,
they sound like they from like
Louisiana, Arkansas. Yeah. Like
yeah,
they that's the only difference, bro. Cause like when I went up there, cause even my coworker at the time, he was my manager, and he was like, you know, up here is a little bit more country. They country up here. I said, I mean, yeah, where I'm from, cool. we country too. Is that they country is more like, all right, we like, I like in the previous podcast, I said like Miami, you know.
When they try to run away from our country.
Yeah, like, but like,
we don't like to claim it.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Cause, we definitely don't.
Cause it's like, and I don't like that because I claim it a lot. Like I tell people all the time.
Yeah,
you know,
everybody peoples from Georgia, South Carolina, one of them places that we named.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just what.
No, because I was telling someone he from North Carolina, and I was telling him because Miami, we're like the New York of the South, you know. It's we got everything down here. We got the beach. We got Brickell. We got everything down here. Everybody want to come down here. But when I was explaining to him was, you know, because he's new to Florida. He's only been living here for 5 years, and he noticed the different parts of Florida. Like everything's different, and I told him straight up, South Florida, we country, we just city folk. You know what I'm saying? Like we move much faster than people in Florida and the rest of the South. But every time I meet someone from like LA, New York, even certain parts of the South, like they be like, "Bro, you from Florida? Like y'all." He was like, y'all country, but with a city vibe. And I'm like, yes, I tell people this all the damn time. Like growing up,
yeah, we got people eating
chitlins
and shit.
Yeah, bro. Like it's
fuck with the boiled peanuts.
Yeah, and just listen
we
to
eat
them
hot sausages and pickle eggs too.
Yeah, man. Like and we got certain parts, you know, like Miami, for example. We got Homestead, we got, you know, the whole down South. That's a whole nother,
like Little Mexico.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Got all
the ranches and all that.
Yeah, and then up in Broward, Santa and Broward, they got Southwest ranches and all that. Like that shit, like Ku Klux Klan area, bro. Like you know what I'm saying? Then of course in Palm Beach, you got, you know, Pahokee and Belleglade and all that. So it's like we got it down here, you know what I'm saying? It's just that
it's here. We replace all our countrymen with building. Like you say, it's like the country.
Mm-hmm.
We do country things. You know, we hang out under the tree.
Yeah.
It's got that country feel, but it's just the city life.
Yeah.
The quick thing that remind you where you know you're not in the country, for one, is not this many different cultures in the country.
Right.
There's only two cultures in the South. That's Black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Down here, like, you know, I like to call it the melting pot. You got Spanish, you got Haitian, you got the Caribbean. You know, not to just single out stuff, but you got the Spanish, you got the Caribbean, you got Black, you got white.
Jews.
You got the European, you got the Jews, you got the African culture. And when I say the African culture, I might be wrong, but I'm kind of tired. But when I say that, you know, you got the people from Israel,
Yeah.
All them. You know, so they from the continent of Africa, you feel me?
And there's a lot of Asians down too.
Yeah, now we got a huge Brazilian population down here. So you got South American, you know, so you got a plate of people from everywhere here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Trying to all live in one nucleus together. But it's just different.
Yeah, but even with that though, like I tell people all the time, I can tell a Cuban, a Haitian, a Jamaican that's from here. I can tell the difference from a Jamaican, Cuban, Puerto Rican, whatever, from New York. Like it's a huge difference.
I know what you're saying, bro. Like you can almost see like I want to make some word in this. You could see the South in all of them.
Yeah.
Then it's like you could see the Southern in there. Like, I know exactly what you mean when you say. Like, you could spot a Miami Haitian compared to Haitian New York as well. Like, nah, that nigga not for the crib. That nigga not for the crib.
It's different.
Like, it's just, I don't know. It might be the mannerisms, how they talk, you know. Even they sound a little bit country.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like my wife, you know, she's from New York. Like she was born in New York, and she said one thing. She'll say, she like, man, y'all don't know how to enunciate down here. I said, I know. We still got degrees and stuff.
Yeah, ain't nobody trying to talk perfect all day.
Yeah, man.
You know what the fuck I'm saying.
Yeah, bro. Like it's growing up, dog. Like. My parents, like my mom and stuff, they used to hate when I the way I spoke, but I'm like, mom, I'm getting
all
A's.
All of I know how to write a paper.
Yeah, like I'm getting A's and B's and stuff, you know. And when I got into college, they was like, damn, bro, you sound like you from like Louisiana somewhere. I said, no, I'm from here. I'm from the crib. Y'all used to like. I like to say commercialized, or y'all just used to a certain part of people from down here. Y'all not from where I'm from. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, when I went off to school and came back, them boys, everybody, every friend that I had was like around. They just was like, damn, you sound country. I used to ask them like, Well, the words you using ain't different. It's just like the tone. I'm like, nah, this is how I've been talking.
Yeah.
Like, y'all just want to act like y'all don't have it at all. We all got it.
No, we all got
it. It just show up more than others. Because when I was in South Carolina, every time I spoke, the words I used, you know, like for the people at the crib, I mean, for the people at home, you know, in Miami, we don't say thought. We say Sean.
Yeah, we say Sean. I still say that to this day.
Yeah, I love saying it because not a lot of people know what it is. So I'm up there. They like, yeah, you know what the thoughts. I'm like, shit, where the Sean's at? What is it? And whenever I'm telling a story, I'm like using like Miami play. They just be like, bro, what does that mean? Like, I remember when I was like, bro, y'all niggas green. Some boy was like, what? Some boy was like, what? They were so confused. I was like, what is this nigga talking about? And I'd have to explain and break it down. But it was cool, bro. So they knew I wasn't from there, and people down here trying to tell me that I was from there. So, it was whatever.
It's crazy. So I got a couple more questions. What made you want to go to an HBCU?
Oh, man. I'd be lying if I said FAMU. You couldn't tell me that. It was a better school than Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University.
Right.
Like, that's the only school I wanted to go to. And, you know, growing up in the church that we grew up in, everybody either went to it. It was three schools. It was Tuskegee, Cookman, or FAMU.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, being an acolyte when everybody was leaving high school, a lot of people was going to FAMU. More than like 80% with the fam, 20%, 30, or 70% with the fam, 30% with the cook.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I just wanted to, you know, I just wanted to, like, hearing their story, saying how much fun they had, people never coming back home, I was like, damn, I gotta get there. Right. I just, you know, I look, and then one thing for me to let me stay on track. The reason why I really wanted to go to the HBCU is because I never went to an all black school for 4 years. Mm. You know, I always wanted to, I went to the classes and I just saw the camaraderie. I saw the love. I saw, you know, just the reunions, you know, just seeing people, black people link up, you know, and nothing happened. It was new to me.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Like seeing 50 black people link up at a game or a cookout and nobody gets shot. You know, I love that.
Beautiful.
You got the culture, you know, everybody got like just the different culture of the school. Every school got its own historical facts.
Mm-hmm.
Every school kind of like known for something. And I want to say like at least two or three great people came from almost every HBCU. So that's why I want to go to an HBCU. And I always felt like even when I was going through high school at the schools I was going to, the black teachers to me were always the best. You know, they were very relatable. They worked with you. They took their time. So, you know, I wanted to be in a community that had that because I was a better student in those type of environments.
Yeah, man. That's,
so that's why I chose the HBCU, man. And that's, quick side story on that is, like, I wanted to go to FAM, like I said.
Everybody
did. Out of high school, that was my only school I applied to. Mm-hmm. Like, that was it. You couldn't tell me I wasn't going to get in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So once I didn't get into there, I was, like, crushed, bro. I didn't get in for that fall, and I had to stay behind. And I ended up going to a college fair in Pompano. And they had the Air Force, they had Tuskegee, had Claflin, and yeah, that was it. So those are my three options.
Mm-hmm.
And man, Tuskegee and Claflin accepted me on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And right then, I was just like, you know, I ended up picking my choice. I prayed on it, and I ended up going with Claflin, and some of my best friends still to this day. We communicate every day.
I ain't never heard of that HBCU before. You know,
Claflin?
Yeah, I never heard of it before. Cause you know
I had never heard of it before. I was like the only person from Miami there my entire time in school.
That's crazy. Like
I was the only person from Miami there at the school.
So for them, you was like the city boy, pretty much. Like
I was the bro. It was such a culture shock. You remember earlier in the show when I said smoking cigarettes is frowned upon,
right?
Them boys was 18 going through cartons, like, and they nobody was talking about it. You know, you know how bad you would get ranked for smoking a cigarette. like if you told somebody. You was like, yeah, bro, I smoke cigarettes. What are they going to call you? A crackhead?
Yep.
A fiend? Like, what you doing smoking nose? And, like, I just can't believe this. Whoop-de-whoop. You know, they give you hell for that. So I get there. People my age is smoking Black and Mild, smoking cigarettes. They drinking beer. Oh, my God. It was like, I was like, whoa, but these people vibing like they 45, 50.
Damn.
They vibing like it's a whole nother vibe. You know what I'm saying? But after being there for 5 years and being in that culture and learning that culture, bro, it was one that I grew to love. Yeah, I fuck with a little brew every now and then. I don't fuck with a cigarette, though.
Nah, man, but
I don't fuck with the cigarette.
But that was one of my regrets because I always wanted to go to HBCU. I think my mindset at the time, I always wanted to be different from my siblings. So my siblings, they went to Clark. One went to Clark. One went to Morris Brown. The other one went to Alabama State. And then I remember I was in 11th grade, and I was looking for I was at all the colleges I wanted to go to, I was looking for information. you know how it is. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to know more information about the school and stuff. So, yeah. One of the letters came, I think it came from, like, University of Alabama, because it was a program I liked. I forgot what program it was. I think it was marketing or something. Mm-hmm. And my sister was like, nah, he want to go to the PWIs. And I'm like, but you do know, like, I got letters from, like, you know, FAMU and Howard, because FAMU and Howard was, like, my dream schools to go to. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, FAMU and Howard, like, those two, like, it was either going to be FAMU or Howard, like, as far as, for, like, an HBCU, of course, you know, overall, like, PWIs, I did want to go, like, the Oregon because of their sports management, their sports business program and everything. But really, I was like, man, FAMU and Howard, like, overall was, like, my dream schools, especially doing my research. But I like, you know what, I'm finna go, let me go to Broward for a couple years, and then, you know, I'm just gonna go to a different school. And yeah. I just went to FIU. But the thing I tell people about FIU is, first of all, people look at it as a PWI, but one of the founding members was black. And FIU
is, I think, multicultural.
Yeah,
that was the focus at one
point. Yeah, like, it's when I first went on campus, I'm like, bruh, one minute it's a whole bunch of, you know, I'm with a whole bunch of black folks and stuff. Next minute I'm with OYAs and stuff. The other minute I'm with Asians. The next minute I'm with, like, a couple Russians here and there. Like, the FIU,
they made sure it was international.
Yeah, they really international. And, like, I've been to UM campus. UM to me is more either black, white, or Hispanic. FIU, right. It's like
they got an Asian population.
Yeah, bro. Like, I'm like, bro, what the fuck?
FIU got everybody.
Everybody.
FIU shows you the it is Miami.
Yeah, that's what
I mean. It literally is Miami, with all the different cultures trying to coexist with one another in one landscape.
Yeah, man. So I'm like, I'm glad I went to FIU, but I still kind of regret. I do want to, you know, like, because my wife, she went to FAM. She went to FAMU too. And then, of course, you know, she want to push, you know, our kids to go. And for me, I'm like, if they want to go, they want to go. That's up to them. But if they do go to a HBCU, like, I really would be happy, because it's something I ain't never experienced. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. As a college student, you know what I'm saying? So it's and you've seen it now, a lot of these top ranked athletes going to the schools now, and it's a beautiful thing. You know, they getting, you know, more, you know, they've given the school more of a
exposure
now. So, man. Yeah, man. So what happened to the Why Not Us podcast, bro?
Ah, man, I'm not putting it all on him. It's definitely not him. But the reason why we took a break,
mm-hmm.
is because he had a baby. Mm-hmm. So I got a nephew out here. In the
okay, congrats to him again. Yeah, I know he had a job.
Yeah, my boy, he had a son.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, once we fell off, we're doing it every week. And then, you know, he had the baby, he was dealing with a newborn. Like, then I would either, it would be like, okay, he ready to record, and I'm like out living life. And then, like, I'm ready to record, and he like just tired, or, you know, something was always happening. And the reason why it's still up, because it's still on SoundCloud, still on YouTube, it's still up, because we are going to come back to it, man. But it just got to the point where we just couldn't figure it out. But we getting to the point, we getting closer and closer to a return date. I don't know when exactly. Mm-hmm. So much is going on that I really want to talk about, and I really need to get back in the gym, honestly, with the podcast.
Yes.
You know, once you gotta have a, you gotta be long winded. This ain't for the week. You gotta be able to hold a conversation, You gotta be able to hold a conversation and be able to transition effortlessly, You know what I'm saying? And while, you know, speaking of facts, we were big on facts. You know, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, and it's just like people just to say information, and I'd be like, all the time, I catch myself like, this is the name of this. Like, you know, when they be like, well, I can't think of the name. I be like, this is the name. You know, and I'll just be like, you know, I'm real quick on my feet like that. So, and man, a lot of people want us to come back, but we talk about it. We don't have an exact return date, but we are coming back for sure. We are coming back. Why Not Us podcast will be back.
Thank you.
I think our next episode is going to be, because I hope people know, man, we don't live in the same city.
Yeah, I know.
One thing the pandemic showed us was, you know, there's so many podcasts that's doing well, where people don't live in the same city, you know. So I'm gonna get my equipment, get a better microphone, and we gonna do this, dog. We coming back. We coming back this year for sure.
Nah, bro. Like y'all really was my Breakfast Club. But y'all was more, y'all was different. Y'all went more in depth. Y'all had no, what's it called? Damn. What I'm trying to say. Y'all had no filter in a way. Yeah. Like it was.
That was definitely me.
Yeah, bro.
That was my therapy, dog.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I'm not just saying it because you my dog and everything. Like you my brother. We known each other for years, but like, I listen to podcasts. I try to keep up with every episode and stuff. It's very hard. But y'all podcasts, like literally, whenever y'all drop, bro, like I was there. Like I was, like it was, y'all was one of them few like podcasts like I actually couldn't wait to tune into, because one, I knew you. You know what I'm saying? I know you. You know you from the crib and stuff. And that's another thing that I try to encourage, you know, people from the crib, is like, bro, we got so many things to talk about. Like y'all just create more and more podcasts, especially down here, because people already love our city. They love us. They love our lingo. Then you have your best friend, and like I looked at him like my best friend. Like now I'm like, hey, you man, know,
appreciate that. That's love.
Yeah, bro. Like it was the opposite. It was like the yin and the yang. But at the end of the day, y'all still had certain stuff y'all still agreed on. It was like some Breakfast Club, ESPN First Take, Undisputed type vibe, man. I'm like, y'all can grow, dog. Like, I'm telling you now, like, y'all can grow.
I think if we would have kept that consistency, I felt like we probably would have. I don't know. I know people like to say that all the time. Well, I don't know, man. I think if we had been consistent, I think we could have went far. But that's not to say that we ain't coming back. Because, bro, to be honest, bro, all we were doing was, that's a regular phone conversation.
Right.
You know, like, that's me and that's literally how we talk on the phone with one another. Now, you know, it ain't as organized. It's a lot, probably a little bit more said. And I honestly, one thing that we're trying to work on right now, and, you know, even through his life experiences, like, I want him to be a little bit more open. You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, I want him to be a little bit more, because he's hella funny, dog.
He was, bro.
He got a hell of a perspective. But he was, like, kind of, like, holding back a little bit. I ain't give a fuck. I was saying whatever I wanted to fucking say. I was cursing, whatever. You know, people want you to be PC, but I'm at a point in my life, dog, where it's just like, that's why I love these podcasts. That's why the podcast is bigger than the radio. Well, you can say whatever the fuck you want to say.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can say whatever the fuck you want to say. You can get all that shit off, man, and it's very therapeutic.
Yeah.
You know, it's an outlet, and it's done right. You can make a career out of it.
Yeah, cause it's true. Like it's the PC shit. I'm tired of it too. my platform.
You record a show, so you know when a nigga being PC.
Yeah, bro. So it's like, well, my platform is different because, you know, y'all more into, you know, society. Me, I'm more leaning towards business, entrepreneurship type, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like, I can't, like for me, I can talk about it, but if my guests want to talk about it, that's different. Like, I only talked about, bro, maybe 2 times I talked about politics. I got like 100 something episodes. Yeah, it's touchy. And it's like, even when I started doing like podcasts, like by myself, before I start back interviewing people, the only thing that was close to that was I had like a Miami rant when I was talking about like I was talking about like the Miami teams and stuff or whatnot. But like I can't go deep in terms of like other stuff because, you know, that's not my platform. But I'm like, other people who have it that I know, if they talk about certain stuff, I'm there. You know what I'm saying? If I get invited one day to come on a show that talks about certain stuff, I'm going to let my shit out too. Because it's true, bro. Like, man, this PC stuff is what's wrong. It's cancel culture. And like, man, I miss the old days, man, where people used to say, like, I was looking at some stuff even from 07. I'm like, the things that people said back in them days, they will be canceled. Mm-hmm. They'll lose their jobs and stuff, bro. For real.
Them boys won't have nothing right now.
Like,
nothing.
Yeah, man. That's crazy. And, one more. Well, no. I have 2 more questions. Real quick. Because we are Hurricane fans. And I wanted to know, because I went to the spring. I don't know if you went on Saturday, but
you was out there?
Yeah, I was out there with my dog.
Yeah, I was out there too.
And one thing I noticed is that you could feel the change because I remember someone, it was a god brother of mine, somebody, but they was telling me like, man, like Manny Diaz was like a soccer coach. Like he was like that, like, but Mario is more like a real football coach, like what the man is doing right now, like, and I seen it, like I seen Jason Taylor on the side, I'm like, damn, bro, like,
nah, he a coach,
yeah, dog, it's crazy, dog. So like,
oh, you don't know, I'm in it, like I'm in it. You know, like, that's remind me, like, for those who don't know one thing about me, dog, I don't give a damn or a rat's ass about no other sports team like I do, like, the Miami Hurricane. You know what I'm saying? Like, they are everything to me.
Yep.
Like, that's my favorite team. I love my Lakers, love my Heat, love, I like the Dolphins. Love my Raiders, the dog, the Hurricanes. When they lose, I have a bad week.
What?
Like my day be fucked up. Like I don't even like watching ESPN when they lose. Like, that's how bad it is. Like, I don't want to do nothing. Like, I'd be in a little cranky mood for like 2 days, dog. I'm like, can't eat it. But yeah, man, I see the change in the program, man. It's all for the better. Shit, the one thing that I noticed on Saturday, them boys know how to tackle now.
Yeah,
that's a blessing.
Them boys was hitting.
Them boys was out there. Not them boys was out there. So you feel me? It was like he was pointing the ball, and that was it. It wasn't no more moving. You feel me?
Yeah, man.
I was like, I'm not used to this. Like, damn, ain't nobody break today.
Nah, like, bro.
Damn, when we started doing this. And so I don't know if I was tripping or if anybody else noticed this, but it seemed like every time we threw the ball, it was at least 2 people wide open.
Who's that quarterback, Van Dyke?
Yeah.
Because I think Van Dyke had some throws too that was real good. The receivers was
They were dropping.
Yeah, but I think they're going to get it right, though, Vant. But I like both the offense and the defense. I was really, you know, because me, I play football, too. So I play defense.
Side note,
so I'm like,
we missing like 20 players.
Yeah.
So we got like 20 players coming in. So you can't even, you got to tell us that spring game with like a grain of salt.
Yeah, I know.
And so we got a lot of players coming in.
Yeah, but I still feel good coming from the spring game. I'm excited, dog. Like, you know, we finally got a real coach. And what's crazy? I've been saying this for years. I think we all been saying this for years because, you know, I think I said it a few times on Twitter. I'm like, we need to get Mario Cristobal down here. Like, he's what Miami needs. Like, he's from here. He went to Miami. He was under Nick Saban for a little bit. He went to FIU. He changed that program around. Like, he went to everywhere he went to, he changed the program around. Oregon at one point, they thought them boys wasn't gonna be the same no more. Now, when he went up there, he gave them like a little bit of an attitude and stuff. And I'm like,
right, gave them an identity.
Yeah, man. So I'm ready for the season. But last question. Where do you see yourself 5 to 10 years from now?
Married, director of Parks and Rec, and a father with a successful side business.
Okay. That's the American dream, dog. It's the American dream, dog.
I'm gonna make it happen. I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna make it happen.
So, before we close out the podcast, you got any shout outs?
Shout out Marley Goose. Shout out my family. Shout out my you know, everybody who's important to me, everybody who I love. They all know who they are. I talk to them every day. Shout out to you for having me. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to, you know, your consistency and continuing to do this show.
Appreciate it, dog.
You know what I'm saying? So I just want to give you your flowers, man, because being consistent is hard.
Hard as hell.
Anybody can start a podcast, but showing up and doing the show and putting it out and editing and doing all that stuff every week when you got, you know, doing with other life things like work, like, you know, being a husband, being a father, you know, being a coworker, you know, or a supervisor, man, whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? Friend, you know, doing this, it take a lot to stop what you're doing and do this. So I just want to say shout out to you, man.
Appreciate it, dog.
I appreciate you for having me, bro.
Man, no problem, man. And this has been your boy DJ Anonymous with another episode of Sports Biz Music, the podcast with my boy Jabari, and we out. Peace.
Yo.